this is the Lord's Prayer. John 17. The model prayer is in another place. John 17 is the Lord's Prayer. And there's 26 verses in this chapter. And this is the prayer of Christ. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I glorified thee on the earth, I finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world, and they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. Pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. The glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. For righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in thee. Father, we thank thee for your word and for the truth. I pray that you please the Holy Spirit to take the word of God and use it tonight for your honor and glory. Even to the opening of the heart of some lost sinner, that they might receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We're thankful for these great truths. There are so many that are found here in this chapter. We pray, Father, tonight that you would enable us that we might rejoice in your word and this truth that you've given unto us. We're thankful for our church. We're thankful for each member of it, and we pray especially for those that have special needs tonight, some that are sick and some that are sin sick. There are some that are lost sinners that need to be saved. And we pray, Father, that it might even please you to open their heart, that they might receive Jesus Christ. Now, go with us, guide us, and direct us, and lead us. In Jesus' name, I ask it all. Amen. I want to preach on the subject of God's gift. As I said this morning, if I were to ask you, what would you say is God's gift? I believe the first thing that you would think of, and you have good reason to do this, is you would think of John 3:16. This perhaps would be the first thing that you think of. And this verse says this, and it does talk about a gift. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You would say that God's gift is God's Son. And that'd be right. That is true. But little do you hear, now you hear much about that. You hear a lot of preaching about God's gift of Son, and you should. Because there's no other way to be saved, as I preached this morning there from the book of Acts, chapter 4. But that's not all of God's gift. And I believe that we need to recognize that God's gift includes more than the giving of his Son. Now, he did give his Son. And God gave his Son. And don't let the word world in John 3:16 throw you, because the word world is mentioned several times in the 17th chapter of the book of John. And so you got to understand and know what he's talking about when he's talking about that, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Because it's pretty hard for you to believe that God gave his Son for every man without exception and then wouldn't pray for him. That's when he said, "I pray not for the world." And so you have to, somewhere, by God's grace, you have to come to grips with that, or to the matter of truth of that. That's not what I'm preaching on. But now, God's gift I'm talking about is found in the 17th chapter of the book of John. This other gift that God has. Now, we need to recognize, and I believe that we need to fully understand, God the Father is he's a sovereign God. He created all things and he sustains all things. He controls the destruction and the salvation of all of his creatures. He controls the armies of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth. Now, that's the God that is mentioned here in John 17. In other words, we are at his disposal. It's like when Paul wrote in the book of Romans and said there, in Romans chapter 9 and in verse 10, he said, "Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus?" I believe that shows clearly to us that we are at his disposal. God can do with us as he pleases. Amen. And I believe that not only can God do with us as he pleases, but God does do with us as he pleases. Amen. You sort of limit God when you don't carry out the full extent. Because God does do with his creatures as it pleases him. I want us to consider some thoughts from this 17th chapter of the book of John concerning God's gift. There's three things that I want us to notice, and basically there are many truths found in the 17th chapter of John. We could, if you would take each one of them and preach each one of them, we could probably be here for a while, or a series. I don't mean one time, but a series. There's a great truth that in all these verses, but especially verse 2, and verse 6, verse 8, and verse 9, and verse 11 and 12, and verse 20, and verse 24. Now, there are three things that I want us to notice from these verses that I've mentioned. God's gift. This is the main thought that I want us to keep in our minds and upon our hearts. God's gift. For God to, I believe in this, we see, we'll notice the power of God. We'll notice the people of God, and we'll notice the purpose of God in this. Now, first of all, in the power, I would like you to notice this great extent of, or the power that God has in verse 2. Now, look at it. As thou hast given him power over all flesh. Now that means exactly what it says. In other words, thou hast given him power over all flesh. That includes every individual. Jew or Gentile, all, elect or non-elect. God can do with those that He's chosen in Christ Jesus as He pleases, and He does. God can do with those that He did not choose as He pleases, and He does. Now that is the person of God that He has given this power. He's given this power to His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll see that they can, and I believe that in this, all flesh, notice I believe this includes bodies, also their spirits and their souls. Everything about every creature, God has given him power over these. Now this power is a derivative power, it's a delegated power. Because you'll see, it backs up into the subject matter in verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lift up his eyes to heaven and see. And who he's talking to is God the Father. And he said, Father, the hour's come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him, as the Father hath given the Son. As God the Father hath given Jesus Christ power over all flesh. That ought to settle this thing right once and for all about a sovereign God. But you still have, nay, old man, but who art thou that replies against God? Constantly. People that are nothing but dirt, and as the grasshoppers, reply against God and the God of heaven and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that has all power. I believe there are many scriptural truths that will bring this out. Back up a little bit, now keep your place there in John 17, that's where we'll dwell. But back up to John chapter 3, and notice with me there in verse 35. And notice what he has said here in this passage of Scripture, John 3 and verse 35. The Father loveth the Son, now look, and he hath given all things into his hand. That is, he's given power to do as God has decreed or according to the will of God. The Son has that power. If you'll turn over now a page to John chapter 5 and notice with me there in verse 20 down through verse 22. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth. Now, isn't that a wonderful statement? And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Now, this is the power that is given by the Father to the Son, for the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son. I believe that we see here that thou hast given him power over all flesh. Jesus said this in his prayer there in John 17 and then verse 2. But now look with me in the 13th chapter of the book of John. And notice with me there in verse 1 through verse 3 of that 13th chapter. Now, before the feast of the Passover, now look at this. When Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Now, Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. Amen. I believe that we see here all things. Jesus knew this. He knew this is the way that God had designed for it to be. Isn't it terrible that man replies against God? It's terrible. But many times people do not want to recognize the God of the universe, and they do not want to recognize the Son of God. They do not want to recognize the power or the authority that God has. Neither do they want to recognize the power and authority that Jesus Christ has. God has designed for him to carry out. I thought about one place when we always preach the commission in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. It says, all power is given unto me. And so, in heaven and earth. And then he said to them, he said, now you go therefore. And I believe this was Jesus commissioning his church. And the power that we have comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. It comes from God through Jesus Christ and the means that it is needed to us. I thought about this verse over here in the book of Hebrews. Now, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 8. Who it's talking about is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because look in verse 7. Thou makest him a little lower than the angels. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of thy hands. Now look. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that he has not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But they are under him, and there will be a time that this will be consummated, or it will come to pass. There cannot, and there is not enough. This was not, as I preached this morning, there is none other but the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the one that this power was given to, and this is the one that has this power. There cannot be another, such a one, that has power over all flesh to give eternal life. I thought about Jesus' own words, John 5:24. You know it well. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. In essence, what the Bible teaches is the Lord Jesus Christ did not die in chance that some might believe in him and be saved. But he died according to purpose and according to power. I found it interesting, one of our missionaries that, and this has been mentioned, Brother Clark mentioned this in one of the tapes that I got from the conference where they preached up there and some of the others, and someone said this is what Brother Phillips had been told. Brother Phillips had gone to Australia and getting ready to go into the bush, a place where there, that church that has sponsored him to come over there was without a pastor, and he's been serving as pastor till they got someone from the state. And there came a little problem up there, and they said that Brother Phillips was a hardship because he believed this truth, and said everybody supports him hardship. Brother Phillips said, now, you all think about what you're saying. You ever heard of a hard shell leaving his country, traveling all the way to Australia, where he doesn't even have citizenship, to preach the gospel to Australians? Does that sound like hard shell? Well, see, people don't know what they're talking about. They have misconceived or preconceived ideas. And so then that thought of dawned on. They said, you know, you've got a point. And I believe that he made his point. And of course, what we believe is that Christ died according to purpose and he died with power.
Amen.
And the Bible clearly teaches that. You remember what was said to him? If thou be the Christ, come down from the cross. Well, now y'all know what he could have done. Even when they went to take him. And I'm always amazed when they fell back. The noting the power that he had and the power that he quit, sir, they could not have laid a hand on him. Had it not been God's purpose. Acts 2:23 explains that and tells us that. And then how that he could have called a legion of angels. He had that at his disposal. He had all power. And all he had power, I believe, as thou hast given him power over all flesh. Anyone that has power over all flesh can do with all flesh as he pleases.
Amen.
And the answer, if thou be the Christ, come down from the cross. The answer is in the 10th chapter of John. Turn to John chapter 10. And notice with me there in verse 15, down through verse 18. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And the other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. The middle wall of partition is going to be broken down. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. Now that's power. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received from my Father. Now, that's the answer to, if thou be the Christ, come down from the cross. That's the answer. That's it indeed, Peter. He didn't even have to carry the cross. He didn't even have to go to the cross. If you're talking about the kind of power that he had, and he could have manifested. But he would not, because it was God's will that he go to the cross. He had a purpose in going to the cross of Calvary. I thought about, and so Christ manifests this power in the salvation of his people. That's when he manifests. I know the greatest power that has ever come upon me is the saving power of God. The greatest thing that has ever happened to me relating to power is when the Lord pleased him to save by his marvelous grace. It's the same power as resurrection power. It's the same power as creation power. I believe that it's a tremendous exhibit of God's power. And I long to see that same power fall upon you. You that are not saved by the grace of God, I long to see that power fall upon you. I know exactly what will happen when it does. You'll be saved. Now, you keep in mind God's gift. And now the subject is God's gift. God gave His Son. But then we see that in verse 2, that Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should yield eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. So God not only gave His Son to come and to die for a people, but God gave those people to the Son before He ever came and died for them. I would if we back up to John chapter 6 and verse 36. Now this is Jesus in His own words, and I thought about this is sometimes it's right humorous when people say, "Why don't you preach some soul winning sermon?" I am right now. And sometimes I say, "Preach like Jesus preached." I tell you, there ain't a stronger message that Jesus preached in John chapter 6. I told y'all this before. I heard Leroy Pack preach this one time, and it was astonishing to me about what people had said to him and how to preach. And then so he said, "Okay, I'm going to give you one of Christ's messages. And y'all better want it. I'm going to give you John chapter 6. He preached the whole thing in John chapter 6. Read it. Read it yourself. Read it. Not now, but read it after a while, after you go home. Now look at John chapter 6, and there in verse 36. Now keep in mind what in the Lord's Prayer, and Jesus knew this. He knew these things, and He knew all about this. And look what He says here in John 6, 36. "All that the Father giveth me." This is Jesus Himself. Jesus knew there were some people that God the Father had selected and that He had given to Him, and it was for these people that He was going to come and go to the cross of Calvary and die for. And God gave His Son for these people. And the Son gave His life for these people. And we go out and preach the gospel to every church. I don't know who they are. You don't either. God knows. Jesus Christ knows. And the Holy Spirit knows. I don't know and you don't know. We've been commissioned to go into all the world and preach the gospel every preacher. And then God will save whom He will. By the means that He has ordained. And so, I may witness to people that God never saved, but I still have the responsibility and the privilege even to witness to them. Because the Word of God is a Savior, either unto death or life. And it accomplishes that purpose that Paul said at the Corinthian church, even in our obedience, who God has selected or God has chosen. But it is our privilege and our responsibility to preach the gospel every preacher. Then God in His marvelous way and grace saves His people as the gospel is preached to them and the Holy Spirit takes it and makes it effectual. That's what missionary Baptists from the days of Jesus Christ have believed. And that's why Brother Phillips is in Australia. That's it. And that's why that we believe in being missionary. That's why we witness to our neighbors. That's why that we witness to our friends. That's why we witness to our family. It's God's means. Now, if you'll notice in this, and John 17, 2 now together, "As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him." John 6, 37, Jesus said, "All that the Father giveth me," now look, "shall come to me." How do you know that? How are they able? How does He know that every one of us is going to? Because Thou hast given Him power over all flesh. He has power. Brother, he has power to quit.
Amen.
He has power to draw. He has power to reveal. And he gives people power to come.
Amen.
To receive Jesus Christ. This is one of the most glorious, wonderful truths that there ever, that there is in the Bible. I mean, this is grace. This is God's grace.
Amen.
God's way of salvation. And one of the things about this is the glorious truth of this is God's plan. This is God's way. So we see here, and then the rest of this verse is good too. Sometimes we only read the last part of this verse, but the rest of this verse is good. And this is Jesus himself. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Now look, that means every one of them. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. There's certainty of their coming, and there's certainty that they will never perish. That they are secure. Now, you know where that all comes from? That all comes from, as thou hast given him power over all flesh. He has not only flesh, he not only has power to draw them, to quicken them, to draw them, to save them, but he has power to keep them. Who are kept by the power of God through faith. 1 Peter chapter 1 and therein verse 5. Now there's no way that you can improvise or improve. There's no way that you can change God's plan. That's the way it is. And how thankful that I am. And I'm not ashamed of that at all. I do not. I preach that everywhere I go. Some people might think I've got a loose screw or something, or nut or something, but that's the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 4, notice with me there in verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. By this power we're sealed. And that seal is placed there. In other words, the redemption that we have is a perfect redemption. Now, I hate to run you back, but run back to John 6 again. Because we need to notice there in the 39th verse of that 6th chapter. Now, we notice verse 37. But in 39 it says, and this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. In other words, there won't be any that he'll lose. There won't be any perish, and there's absolute security, and it all is because of the power of God. And this power has been given to the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the second thing that I want us to notice is not only the power, but the people. This is also mentioned right here in John 17 and in verse 2. Here's the people. The power was that thou hast given him power over all flesh. And that includes all flesh. He does with them, saved or unsaved, elect or non-elect, as he pleases. He does that. I think this is the truth that the Lord has enabled us to see and to believe in the church. But now here is dealing, that's the power, but here's the people. That he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Now there's the people. Now, the extended power is over all flesh because he does with them according to his pleasure and his will. But this thing of giving eternal life is limited to those that have been given him by the Father.
Amen.
That's what this verse says. Thou hast given him power of all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Now it goes without saying that if God couldn't do with one what he wanted to, he couldn't do with another what he wanted to. God is able to do and does do, and not only able, but God does as he pleases with all flesh. But then among all of these creatures or all flesh, that he would give to eternal life to as many as the Father had given him. Plain truth here in John 17:2. No doubt it goes without saying, the elect are called his people. This verse of Scripture that is aptly used many times, and this is what it means here in Matthew 1:21. This is talking about Jesus, and this was God's plan. This is right along with this truth that we have here in the Lord's Prayer. It says, it's talking about Mary and the Holy Ghost and having conceived, and it says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And any time that you see that, his people, that denotes ownership, and there is those that the Father hath given to the Son. And this is what this means here in this. It is true that we are his people because he saves us, but we are his people because the Father hath given us to the Son in the everlasting covenant before the foundation of the world. He saves us because we are his people. I like what he said over here in John chapter 10, there in verse 15. I was reading a little tract, the title of it was "The Goats Ever Become Sheep." And it is an impossibility. They never do. A sheep in the Word of God is always defined either as being a lost sheep or a sheep that's been found. And you'll never find it any other way in the Word of God. That's the way it's found. Now look what he said here in this passage of Scripture here in John chapter 10. And we notice here in verse 15, "As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." It's very clear these people belong to him. They're his people. But the thing that a lot of people don't understand is they have belonged to him from the time of the eternal covenant between each person of the Trinity.
Amen.
God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. That's why somewhere lately I preached that message that I preached from Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14. "Are they not ministering spirits who are sent for the purpose of protecting those who shall be heirs of salvation?" Who shall be. Not that are. I mean, that happens when they are, but who shall be. It's the same "shall" that we find over there in John 6 and verse 37. Now the people are identified as a gift of the Father to the Son, because we saw that in John 6:37. He said, "All that the Father giveth me." But in the 17th chapter of the book of John, and in verse 6, notice what it says here. "I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me." Now look where they came from. Out of the world. How many times Jesus said, "You're in the world, but you're not of the world"? What do you mean by that? He means that he came into the world to save his people. And we see here that there are certain ones that were going to be in the world, that the Father, that were going to be born in the world, that the Father had given to the Son. And here's how, notice, "Thine they were." Now notice the tense, "Thine they were." They were. Not "thine they are." That's true too. But "thine they were." It takes you all the way back to God and with God.
Amen.
In the beginning. "And thou gavest them me." Now look at this. "And they have kept thy word." I believe it's such a blessing to see the men which thou gavest me out of the world, thine they were, and thou gavest me them. Now, in essence, what they were doing, when dying they were chosen unto salvation. In essence, it's what he's saying. This is just what Ephesians 1:4 means. If they were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, they were chosen or selected in Christ. Out of all the inhabitants that was going to ever be born, God chose or selected some in Christ. He didn't choose them on the basis of who they were or where they were going to be or what they were going to be doing. But he chose them in Christ Jesus. They were not chosen because of themselves. There was no merit whatsoever. Now to these the Father has purposed to bestow the blessings of redemption, and that through His Son, and the Father has given Him a portion of the human family and will apply this great work to them. It's such a thrilling thing to know this truth and yet to be able to go out and witness not knowing who they are. Some people said, why, if I believe that, I wouldn't do anything. Yeah, if you believe that, you'd be missionary. People that don't believe it, they try to be missionary, but they don't know why they're missionary. They don't have any idea why they're missionary. They go out thinking that everything depends upon them. Now, God does use instruments, and God uses people, but it don't all depend upon you. Depends upon God using you and being pleased to use you. The difference between a person that believes this truth and a person that doesn't, I go out witnessing knowing that there's some people that God has and He's going to save. And they go out hoping there might just a chance be somebody. There's a difference in doing mission work with a purpose and doing it for what some call chance. Because you go out. Well, the very fact that God leads you and sends you to a place causes you to know that there are some people that He wants to hear the gospel that He's going to save. Thank marvelous things. There's a tremendous difference. These people, His people, are distinguished from the all flesh in verse 2, as I read there. Thou hast given Him power of all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. Now, to as many as Thou hast given Him comes out of that all flesh. That's where they come from. It is true they are flesh, and all flesh belongs to Him in a certain sense, but His people belong to Him in a particular sense, and they are a peculiar people, a particular people, a purpose people, and a people that's been purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The people are identified with the Word. Lord, look what happens, and here's how that you identify these people, is you identify them with the Word of God. Now what they do is they receive the Word of God. And they're the only ones that will receive the Word of God. Look at verse 8, John 17. For I have given unto thee the words which thou gavest me. Now look what happened. And they have received them. And have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. These people are identified with the Word. They receive the Word of God, but they also keep the Word of God. Look at verse 6. And manifested thy name unto them, unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world, and they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. This is the only way that there is identification of these. Now John chapter 10 also in verse 22, listen to what it says. Here in John 10, let's go on down a little bit, go down to verse 25. Jesus answered them, I told you and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name they bear witness of me. Now here's this truth. Jesus makes it real clear in verse 26. But you believe not because you're not of my sheep. As I said unto you, here it is, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now here's this truth again. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I know them, and they follow me. Now see, I don't know them. You don't know them. I don't sit around worrying about whether or not you're elect or not elect. I don't do that. I preach to you, I preach to everyone as though they were elect, even though that I know everybody's not elect. I witness to you as though you are it. That's what God has commissioned us to do. As a church, and we're responsible to do that. But I tell you, He knows you. He knows who you are, He knows where you are, and He knows what you need. And sooner or later, you're going to get it. I don't mean that to draw a toward man. Hard. But sooner or later, He's going to draw. He's going to quicken and draw. I don't mean like He's trying to catch you, can't. I don't mean that. But at the time, at the right time, at God's time, you're going to hear the gospel like you've never heard it before. You're going to hear the word of God like you've never heard it before. You're going to hear it saved. They are identified with eternal life. Now only His people will be saved. They will hear and receive His word and will keep His word. And John 17 and verse 20, look what it says. Now there are some that He has saved, and these that have been saved, they're going to go with the Word of God, and through that means of the Word of God, they're going to reach others. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word. Now, you know and I know that God's plan, and we came to a saving knowledge of Christ through the word of some person that God has saved, like modern church. And even so has God designed for it to be in our case, that we take the word of God